in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Namaste, citizens of Naturopathic Earth. This is another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. This is A. Gregory Luna, your podcast host. You can call me Gregory, of course. You can find Naturopathic Earth on a lot of social media outlets, though on most of them it's pretty incomplete. You can find us at Naturopathic Earth over on Instagram, Naturopathic_Earth, or you can find us at Twitter and Facebook at Naturopath Earth without the ick, So today, and of course you can find us at naturopathicearth.com, where you can find our panoply of articles dealing with natural remedies. And a lot of these podcasts, I really haven't covered the health benefits of garlic or the natural remedies for ear infection. I probably have about 30 articles covering those things. I'll probably get to those later, or actually I'll probably let Kate deal with those because that's more of her forte. But you can find articles on natural remedies, on biohacking, and of course food articles and recipes, and as well as my Confessions of an Obese Child blog. You can also listen to Naturopathic Earth Radio there on the website, as well as the Confessions podcast if you don't have access to iTunes or Google Play or SoundCloud. I'm honestly not sure if we're on Stitcher, so I don't know if we're there, but you could find us at the other three places. So I recommend you follow us. Also, of course, we have that that raffle going on where if you subscribe to the daily newsletter, we put you in a raffle for Kate to make you an essential oil blend, a roll-on one. And soon we're going to have some free PDF material available online. Before I begin today, we're going to talk about some superfoods that are sugar-laden that we think are healthy, but in fact are not. I wanted to cover a couple of things. Typically, I talk about movies and pop culture more on the Confessions podcast feed, but I saw a couple of movies this weekend. By the way, happy Mother's Day to all of you. Today is Mother's Day. I want to wish a happy Mother's Day to my mom. She does not listen to my podcast because she doesn't know how to use the internet. She can't even control a mouse. And she's only like 76, but I've gotten her an iPhone. I've gotten her a computer, and just she can't figure it out. So the only time she's listened to my podcast is when she visits me, and we put it on for her in the car. So I want to wish Guadalupe a happy Mother's Day. And even though I often quote her or impersonate her on many of the Confessions blogs or on the podcast, she knows I love her very much. She's a great mother, and I'm blessed to have her. Unfortunately, I lost my father about 6 years ago, but I'm lucky to have my mother, so I really appreciate that. So happy Mother's Day to all you women. And it's a shame Kate can't be here on this day because she would wax philosophically on how birthing children ties us to our ancestors. If you think about just in all of human history, and you can go back at least 10 million years of human history, birthing, and just reproduction in general, of course, but I think it's more of birthing because the act of copulation or sex, I mean, not to take away from its sacredness and its mysticism, but the process of birthing life is something that bonds all women throughout time immemorial. If you think about it, just pick any year, 1672 AD, 659 AD, 432 BC, all of our ancestors, all of our grandmothers, were all birthing children. It ties women to the past. And it's a beautiful thing. And I don't know if I'm going to go as cliche to saying, I wish I was a woman so I could, you know, carry life and birth it. But there's something to be said about the process of carrying life and birthing, and mothers are inestimable in carrying on values and virtue. And just, I mean, I'm not to say that without fathers we couldn't function, but I don't know, probably without mothers it'd be a lot worse. So I do want to wish Happy Mother's Day on this Mother's Day. I also want to mention that I just saw two movies this weekend because I've been a little under the weather. If you don't hear that I have a little gusto, I have been under the weather, which is rare because I don't get that sick, but about every maybe 3-4 times a year I get this virus that kicks in. It's very peculiar because it's body aches, chills, achiness, headache, but no respiratory symptoms and no fever. So no stuffy nose, no sore throat, no cough. It's just body aches, chills. So it's very viral. It comes on fast and goes away. So today I'm a little under the weather, so that's why I might sound a little subdued. But I do want to mention I saw two movies because I'm really get up and go, and I don't watch a lot of TV, but when you're sick, it forces me to sit my butt down. So I saw the Bourne movie, Jason Bourne, that came out last summer. All I have to say is I like the originals, especially the first two. I haven't seen them recently, but this one was pretty much like all the other ones. I mean, how many times can we repeat this plot? I swear it's like Kathleen Kennedy and George Lucas in Star Wars rehashing, A New Hope and Force Awakens. And I'm worried that Last Jedi, based on the trailer, is going to be just like Empire Strikes Back. But okay, I'll leave that to Confessions, number 20, The Popular Brother, which I should be recording either today or tomorrow, to talk about my concerns with Last Jedi. Because I do like to section things off. And really, in Naturopathic Earth, I don't really talk about these things. I like these to be as succinct as possible. But clearly, I'm not being succinct today. So with Jason Bourne, I mean, how many times can we use the same rehashed plot? 4 times now. Now, I know how many times because they make tons of money, and he didn't. Matt Damon, if you know that joke from Team America, World Police. I heard something like he made something like, he barely speaks in the movie, so he made something like $624,000 a word or some crazy amount of money per word because he's all brooding and fighting, of course. But how many times can he be figuring out his past, and then how many times does he find somebody, the CIA's trailing him, he meets that certain person in a public venue, some asset or assassin is trying to kill him along with the CIA teams, he talks to the person, gets whatever he needs, that person inevitably typically dies, but he escapes and he moves on to the next city. And how many times at the end of these movies does he meet up with the CIA chief or the chief of Treadstone? I mean, it's so hackneyed, guys. Come on. Bring back Renner. You know, I like Renner. Oh, speaking of, I saw 3 movies. But you know what? I'll save the next 2 for confession. So the other one was La La Land, which I finally saw. And I saw Arrival. But I'll talk about those in the next podcast. So, because I've already kind of gone off here, which you know I'm apt to do. So today we're going to talk about some superfoods. Now, I am a big fan of superfoods. But with the superfoods, you need to be careful because some of them are not too super. I couldn't get away with that joke. So today we're going to talk about that. If you want to kind of write down what I'm talking about, or you can always go to my website and read these blogs in which I wrote about them and talked about them. So let's talk about the superfoods. Superfoods are typically either a fruit, a vegetable. Typically, they're fruits and vegetables or an amalgam of maybe, they're either going to be fruits or vegetables typically. I mean, you can consider maybe some clean fish and meat as a superfood, but typically it's always going to be, you know, if you ask somebody a superfood, what inevitably comes to their mind, right? Coconut, avocado, and stuff like that. So superfoods are typically the foods that have a great mixture of macronutrient balance, so carbs, fats, proteins, and they have very great combination of either amino acids or high in vitamins and minerals or very high in antioxidants. Typically, they're going to be high in antioxidants. So just very nutrient-dense foods that have a limited liability. That's what we typically call a superfood. So before we talk about the actual superfoods, I do want to mention that big food is not stupid, okay? And I mentioned this too when I'm writing my article, in which I'll publish this week, on code words for MSGs and other toxins, on how important it is to look at the ingredient list of foods. They know that people are wanting to eat superfoods, right? Because it's in the zeitgeist. So even the hoi polloi, the masses are knowing that's kind of important to eat these foods. So they want to put in as much sugar as possible in these to make them as palatable, so you'll buy their superfood, So you always have to be careful with the following foods. And by no means is this list exhaustive. It really isn't. But I do want to mention some of these, and some of these are foods that I love, So part of it is this, okay, and this goes back to what I mentioned in a competitive eater, Confessions of an OB Child 11, and in some of my other podcasts, is there's a balance of burden. Big food certainly knows, and big restaurant, and big pharma, no doubt. I mean, look at Vioxx, that case with Vioxx. I mean, how many people died under Vioxx? Something like 500,000 people before they took it off the market. Big food knows they're putting crap in the food supply that's hurting us and making us sick. Now, why they do it, they'll probably say it's because it just makes their food more tasty, and that the onus is on us to determine how much we put in our mouth. That's completely true. But it's like telling a crack addict to stop doing crack. The food scientists that these companies employ know about the bliss point, where is that perfect combination of salt and fat and sugar, and they're irresistible. So I say much of the onus is on big food for not making this food cleaner, but of course some of the onus is on us. Now, we are kind of like lambs to the slaughter, because even though we might be like, I want to eat well today, if you are watching commercials, you're inundated by food porn, food advertisements, just gimmicks in the supermarkets, billboard ads with food porn. And if you're not knowledgeable on the term food porn is a term that advertisers use to use very graphic and salivating inducing commercials. So when I explain some of the scenes of food porn, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, and I don't need to define it. So pizza company, the zoom in on the pizza where someone is pulling the slice and it's gooey and stretchy. A Dairy Queen commercial where they have the zoom in on the blizzard as it's being swirled around. Okay. These are typically the hamburger ones where they're showing the burger coming at you at the screen. French fry ones where the French fries are crispy and they go straight into the cup. These images are there to elicit you to want to eat these foods. And so what they do is they're essentially subliminal ads. And this is a wholly separate podcast. And going back really fast to interviews. So Kate figured out, and I know you, many of you know how to do this. But Kate figured out over spring break how to interview someone with Skype. But for whatever reason, we interviewed her through Skype, but we didn't use the interview because it was very rough. So we went on to work on the website or something like that. And so now when she's working on it, she's having problems figuring out how to get it back to work. But my goal is, after I do a decent amount of MPE radios that I deal with food, I definitely want to start covering the more insidious aspects of big food. And one of them is going to be subliminal advertisements. Now, subliminal advertisements are not illegal. They are not illegal. And they are used all the time in magazine advertisements and in commercials. But my overall point is this. It's very difficult to resist the urges of big food. So ultimately, it is our responsibility what we put in our mouth. But we are kind of like the moth flying into the blue light outside. You know, the ones that the mosquito lights or whatever they're called. I mean, in some ways we are. Now, not everybody is. Some people have a very good, healthy relationship with food, albeit maybe because they're hooked on something else, or maybe they're just one of those few people that doesn't have any sort of predilection towards something that might be a vice. But many people do have an unhealthy relationship with food. I had one for 30-something years. So I think it's very important to bring these to the attention of you guys. that you are being manipulated and intentionally lied to. I mean, we'll definitely have a podcast on genetically modified organism labeling, GMO labeling, and why there's such a fight by big food not to label food if as GMO, containing GMOs, even though all their fraudulent scientific studies will tell you that there's nothing wrong with GMO. So if there's nothing wrong with GMO foods in terms of our health, and in terms of just normal non-GMO seed, it corrupting non-GMO seed, then why don't we want to label it? Exactly. It's like a smoking gun. But my plan is to eventually get to that point. So, okay, anyways, let's get to the point here. Now, we're only going to cover those that are obviously are obvious candidates for being superfoods that a lot of people think are healthy, but in fact, they have a lot of sugar in them. We're not going to cover, you know, cookies or honey buns, or even the unicorn frap, which came out last month. Okay, clearly, which has got like 83 grams of sugar. We're not going to cover those because those are obvious. So let's hit some natural ones. So number one, and these are going to be, of course, in no particular order. The first one's going to be health bars. So either in the form of Luna bars or Clif bars or whatever bar it is now, there's a lot of granola bars, power bars, protein bars that a lot of muscle-bound lifters eat and a lot of just regular people eat because they think they're healthy. This is quite common, even if you look at Powerade and Gatorade, how that was just only used up until about 20 years ago just by people who are working out. And now you see common people walking around drinking Powerade. But these health bars, if you look on the back of them, it's just like over at Whole Foods. I bought some Oreos because it was my son's birthday and we wanted to do like an Oreo kind of themed cake. And so you can go to Whole Foods and they all sell you Oreo cookies. Doesn't mean they're healthy just because they're sold at Whole Foods. They still have this same amount of sugar, albeit maybe less preservatives. But a lot of these health bars still have a lot of carbs, still have the food dyes, and still have all the preservatives that you typically see in regular bars. I would definitely recommend that you look at, in any food, look at the ingredient list. In particular, with a lot of energy bars, you'll see that they'll say, you know, 1 gram of sugar or, you know, 25 grams of protein. First of all, protein is not that big of a deal unless you're a heavy lifter and you got to be eating 6 chickens a day like Michael Phelps. The typical American does not undereat protein. We actually eat too much protein on a given day. And if any of you know anything about gluconeogenesis, if you eat too much protein, many times it just converts to carbs. So you don't need to be eating the energy bars with 25 grams of protein. But my point is a lot of them will say they're very low in sugar. And then you look at the ingredient list and you'll see that they put sucralose, which is sold as Splenda, or they put acesulfam potassium, which is one of the newer sweeteners, in there. So you think, oh, this is actually great. You know, I'm getting less sugar. Well, actually, I mean, either they are full of sugar or you're getting artificial sweeteners, which are arguably worse. So my takeaway from those is don't eat them. I mean, why are we snacking? I know this is kind of one of those counterintuitive things, but why do you feel the need to snack in the first place? You shouldn't be getting hunger pangs every 3 hours. You really shouldn't. You should only be, I mean, my honest opinion is that you shouldn't have any hunger pangs at all. If you're ketogenic adapted and fast adapted, I know some of you are not fasting, but if you're ketogenically adapted, you're not going to get hungry. You're really not. But there's no reason to go to this, why we need to eat snacks. There's no reason. We don't need a 3 o'clock snack. We really don't. So I would say, look at your diet, look at what you're eating, and you really shouldn't be hunger pangs. You know, we typically have a little lull in energy around 3, 4, 5 o'clock, but because you have that, why don't you drink some water or drink some tea? You don't need to be snacking on anything. That's not to say that you can't snack on carrots, but my point is that really you shouldn't be getting hungry in the middle of the day. All right, number two are condiments. Now, I'm not really going to cover barbecue sauce, honey mustard, ketchup, sour cream dressings, because or salad, or creamy salad dressings, because I think most of you know those have a lot of hidden sugar. And I think I've mentioned before, and going back to some of these companies where they're all holier than thou now, where they talk about, oh, like we don't put high fructose corn syrup in our ketchup anymore. So Heinz has high fructose corn syrup free ketchup. If you buy, of course, it's a little more expensive, or you see, you know, things that are BPA free and they're like, oh, we need to anoint you as, you know, a saint Monsanto. Well, A, you were putting this toxic crap in our food for how many years without telling us? And only when there's enough, maybe enough uproar, do you take it out, put in a new product that's more expensive, but you'll still keep the crap high fructose corn syrup in the cheaper ketchup. So it's the utter hypocrisy of how these big food companies want us to revere and respect them. And then you have sheeple people who are like, oh, thanks, Kraft. Thanks for taking out food dyes. Or thanks for taking out BVO out of Fanta, which is a flame retardant chemical. Oh, thanks. Now, instead of like, why the hell were you putting it in our drink for 40 years, you bastards? We don't even think about that. So with the condiments, I think a lot of you know that they are full of sugar. Not to mention, almost all the condiments, aside from mustard and ketchup, have vegetable oil, which is hydrogenated, or just regular soybean oil, canola oil, which have direct links to heart disease and high cholesterol and hypertension and diabetes. So those are problems. And then a lot of them do have food dyes too. So again, try to stick to mustard and salsa. I mean, those are really the paragons of good condiments, and try to limit the other ones if possible. Okay, let's get to the three or four biggies here. Now, when I tell you these, you're not going to be too surprised, but flavored yogurt. Now, a lot of you, this would be number three, a lot of you love flavored yogurt. Now, I don't blame you, because, I mean, who wouldn't like raspberry-flavored Dannon with those granola chips or those chocolate chips or granola pieces or sprinkles? Here's the issue. I think most of you guys know that regular yogurt is crap. Okay, if you buy regular Dannon for your kids, blueberry flavor, key lime flavor, like how in the hell are they going to get key lime flavor in yogurt? I think most of you guys know already it's high in sugar. You're looking at the typical yogurt maybe going from 12 to 20 grams of sugar in a typical cup. Not to mention the food dyes, and a lot of them use artificial sweeteners, especially the low-sugar yogurts. The more insidious ones are going to be the flavored Greek yogurt. So a lot of people have gone, and now they know, okay, Greek yogurt's important. Maybe they don't know why, but they know it's healthier, and maybe they know it's because it's got probiotic or it's fermented. So they'll eat it for that reason, and they never bother to look on the back. So flavored Chobani, Faye, whichever Bulgarian yogurt or whatever brand you're getting, if you are getting a flavored one, even vanilla, again, 12 to 20 grams of sugar. Now, if I bring this up to someone to tell them to eat unflavored yogurt, they'll say it tastes bad. And it doesn't taste that great. Now, this is the way all the big companies get you. They sacrifice, you know, if it's something that has to do with big pharma or big telecommunication or something like that, you sacrifice security for convenience. Here it's the same thing. You're sacrificing your health for convenience. You just want to grab a yogurt on the go and take it with you and just open it up, eat it in the car, or have your kids eat it at school. You're sacrificing your health. Though it is more difficult, the big takeaway is definitely get Greek yogurt, definitely get full fat, and find full fat. Trader Joe's has a full fat Greek yogurt. My Monopoly grocery store here, HEB, they sell a Faye that's full fat. Now, a lot of places only do 2%. If that's all you can find, go with 2. It's like milk. You got to go with the highest amount of fat, but you got to go unflavored. And even though it's going to take you a little longer, get the unflavored full fat and then just prepare it on your own, guys. Buying some frozen blueberries or frozen strawberries or strawberries, you cut them up really fast, throw it in the yogurt bowl, mix it around. It makes it flavored automatically, especially blueberries that are very liquidy. It flavors them. Just throw in the blueberries with a little of the blueberry juice that's coming in the bag if you're getting the frozen ones. If not, if you're buying the fresh ones, that's great too. Just chop them up. They turn the yogurt blue, guys. And then if you want to put something crunchy in there, sprinkle maybe a little granola. Throw in some chia seeds. Throw in some coconut flakes. I mean, even some like low sugar cereal, but it's infinitely better than the flavored Greek yogurt. So just be warned. It's like with the dark chocolates. You know, you got to work your way up to getting high. If you don't like unflavored Greek yogurt, work your way to it. But you can add as much cinnamon as you want. Cinnamon is God's sweetener. Doesn't spike your insulin. Throw in cinnamon. throw in the aforementioned stuff, okay? Even throw in maybe a little honey if you need to get a little honey. But to me, honestly, all you need is the berries, move them around, throw in some coconut flakes. Chia seeds will give you a lot of good fat and fiber, and throw in some cinnamon. That's my go-to yogurt bowl, but you got to get them flavored. The next one, number four, it's going to break my heart because we don't think about this. We all know that the cacao is a superfood. And I've mentioned, and I think in confession number 18, how we're going to have a cacao shortage in a couple of years, according to a cacao expert, or I think he's like a botanist. I don't even know what they call it. I'm so stupid in zoology. I jokingly told somebody that I thought that goats and sheep were the same species, and that when it comes out a boy, it's a goat. When it's a girl, it's a sheep. I mean, I really don't know anything about zoology. But cacao. A lot of you have moved to dark chocolate, either Hershey's or M&M or Dove. You know, you buy the dark chocolate ones. First of all, no, those are typically more than 50 to 60% cacao. And they have shish load of sugar. But even some of you who might be buying Lindt, or you're buying Ghirardelli, you know, more of the more mainstream ones. And of course, if you go to most of the large fruity supermarkets, you'll find like 35 different brands of dark chocolates. Now, each of those dark chocolate companies are selling different things. Some people that are into fair trade and don't want, you know, slave laborers picking their cacao, which is most of our cacao, as I mentioned before, comes from West Africa by children under gunpoint, or they come from the Amazon. If it's important for you to know that they're being paid well, then a lot of people will buy those that are fair trade. To me, again, it's my health. I mean, I don't think that's being selfish, but you know, I don't want people under gunpoint picking my cacao. But there's not much I can really do aside from boycotting all those companies. But what you need to do is when you look at dark chocolate on the back, I would definitely say the first criteria is to get the higher percentage. But even the guys, 85, 90%, 80%, you'll still find 80% raspberry flavored, 80% orange flavor. I love World Market. I go to World Market all the time because they have a discount bin in the back where they put everything 60% off. So sometimes I'll raid that for some chocolate or some chips or something like that, or some soups. But World Market, Lindt, and all the brands, they'll have most of their dark chocolate is flavored. Now, a typical serving of a regular sized dark chocolate bar is about 2 servings per bar or 2.5. Next time, my friends, and I posted an Instagram video juxtaposing 2 of them, but I think they were both unflavored. I think it was a Trader Joe's that had soy lecithin and then a Lindt 90 that didn't. But by all means, my friends, go to the grocery store, grab a flavored, anything over 70, flavored whatever, and then grab the 90% unflavored. Look on the back. For a serving, you are looking at sometimes 18 grams of sugar in a flavored one, raspberry, blueberry, whatever it's going to be, you know, the toffee chip ones, 18 per serving. If you look at a 90%, five, six grams of sugar. Not to mention they typically have a lot more fiber too. But if you multiply that, and I know most people, especially if you buy the high-end dark chocolate, it's very difficult to eat the entire bar. But let's say you do eat the entire bar. I mean, you're looking at 40 grams of sugar in that dark chocolate bar. And that's a lot. And it, you know, again, we're looking at two separate things. It's like a mixed drink at a bar, right? When you're getting a mixed drink, they intentionally are trying to put as low alcohol in there as possible, more fillers. So when you're buying a raspberry flavored, albeit 85, 90%, they're not going to put as much cacao in there, and they're going to be putting in more of the raspberry than the sugar. So you're not getting as much cacao, and you're getting more of the sugar, and you're probably getting maybe some vanillin, which is artificial vanilla, or of course soy lecithin, which is in a lot of these bars. So you need to develop a taste for the unflavored ones. Dark chocolate, especially high-end, is extremely good for you guys. It's an antioxidant. It's got polyphenols. It's got catechins. It's just tons of fiber. There's tons of studies showing that if you eat a couple pieces or bricks of dark chocolate a day, it would actually help you lose weight and fight against heart disease. And it's just a wondrous food item, and it tastes incredibly well. So you got to develop a taste for 90% unflavored. And I know some of you are still on the flavored. Start weaning off of it, my friends. If you got to go to sea salt, dark chocolate, that's fine. But eventually you got to go to 90%. And trust me, and I've mentioned this ad nauseum. Once you go 90 on these, 85, 90 unflavored, when you go back, it's just too sweet. It's too sweet. So get off the flavored dark chocolate. Okay. Number five, dried fruit. Now, I have my students do a nutritional presentation in my class where they have to pick a food item that they like, and then they have to give it two grades. They have to look at the nutritional information and then give it a grade, A being very nutrient dense, F being absolutely no nutrition in it. Then they have to look at the ingredients and ingredient list and give a toxin grade, A for great, F for highly toxic. And really the only limitation or prohibition I put is that they can't pick sodas, because sodas are absolutely no nutrition. I mean, it's all sugar, right? Sugar, carbonated water, citric acid, caramel color. And so they can't do that. And so maybe it was like a year ago, I was getting a lot of those, and you see them at Costco and Sam's, a lot of those blueberry, dark chocolate covered blueberries, dark chocolate covered pomegranates. You would see a lot of these. I can't remember the name of the company that sells them. And the kids would eat them. And you can get these at the bins at, you know, Whole Paycheck and all the other places. They are tasty, but they're full of sugar. And I think most of you guys already know, like, dried apricots, dried bananas, those that you find in the bin or those big bags at airports, those are just laden with sugar. Super high. I mean, it's like diabetes in a whole food bin bag if you go and scoop up the dried fruit. It's not to say it's not tasty, but dried apricots, dried banana chips, you see dark chocolate banana chips at Whole Paycheck. These are all just laden with crap. So fruit, by all means, eat it all you want. By any day, eat even high glycemic fruit over dried fruit. But when you're buying like dark chocolate or milk chocolate, blueberries, for example, lots of times it's not even real blueberries. You know, they just use blueberry extract and mold it in the shape of a blueberry. So you're not even getting the benefits of the blueberry. So just craisins, of course, would be another one. Just stay away. All right, another one, flavored nut butters. I published a recipe on Saturday, May 13th of 2017, on my own Nutella-esque recipe. Because Nutella, number one ingredient, guys, is not hazelnuts. But kudos to them, because when I remember looking at Nutella 3-4 years ago, hazelnut was actually the fourth ingredient. But hey, they've moved it to number three and put cocoa as number four. So they flipped cocoa and Nutella. Kudos to them. But can anyone guess what the number one ingredient is in Nutella? Ding dong, sugar, of course. And what's number two, even more insidious? Vegetable oil. So I don't know if some of you guys know this, but Kelly Clarkson got a little slack because she posted something on Instagram about 2 weeks ago, feeding her son. I think she's got a son, Nutella. And, you know, the social media vampires were attacking her. It's like, you know, that palm oil is carcinogenic. You know, it's so fattening, it's sugar laden. Your kid's going to have weight problems, you know, which is probably like a subtle stab at her and her issues with weight. And she had this big attack. Now, Nutella, I think a lot of you know, is crap. I think a lot of you know that, but it's tasty crap. And of course, if you go to Europe, they eat Nutella. Nutella is actually, I think, a Swiss concoction, you know, but doesn't mean we should be eating it. And the Euros are much different than us. You know, they don't allow genetically modified food. A lot of their foods don't have MSGs. Their restaurants are much stricter. Like, for example, if any food is not fresh, if it comes frozen, they actually have to label it on the menu. So, and they walk a heck of a lot more than we do. And they're just, in general, healthier. So what I did is I posted an article. So I want to mention, Nutella clearly is crap. Look on the back. The sugar is insane. Now, some of these, the sugar might be lower when you look at it, let's say between 5 and 10 grams of sugar. But that's another trick that cereal companies are notorious for. And they do that by lowering the serving size. So look at the serving size. You know, typically with Nutella and peanut butter, it's going to be 2 tablespoons, I believe, is a typical serving size. So what lots of times they'll do, they'll just change it to a tablespoon and a half, and you won't even know the difference because you're probably not even remembering what the original serving size was. So Nutella's crap, but nowadays we have a lot of other brands now that are doing like cookie dough peanut butter flavored, sugar cookie peanut butter flavor, honey nut peanut butter flavor, cinnamon raisin, cinnamon pecan. Again, Peanut butter, I mean, it's got issues, but regular peanut butter, I mean, it's got trans fats in it. All of them do, unless you buy natural, Jiffy Natural or whatever. But, I mean, regular peanut butter is pretty benign compared to these flavored ones because you're still getting the trans fats. When you buy the flavor, like the, say, the sugar cookie peanut butter flavor from Justin's or whatever brand, you know, there's a lot of them. Even Trader Joe sells a bunch of these. You're still getting the trans fats, but you're also going to be getting a nice dose of soy lecithin. You're going to be getting more vegetable oils. And then, of course, you're going to be getting the sugar from the quote-unquote flavor that they're putting in there. So, again, nuts are great. Almond butter is great. Cashew butter is great. But don't get the flavored. Don't get the flavored because even though it tastes good, it's crapola. Okay, got a couple more here. The last of the biggies is going to be flavored non-dairy milk alternatives. So I think a lot of people in the last 10 years have been switching off of the dairy because they're legitimately lactose intolerant or they don't like the way cows are treated or they're vegetarians or vegans or they don't want to be shot up or drink stuff that's got antibiotics and growth hormones. Or maybe they realize, why the hell are humans drinking milk when we're adults? Again, I've mentioned this a lot of times. We are the only mammals that as adults are still drinking milk. Why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? Anyway, so of course we know if like chocolate milk, flavored milk's got tons of sugar. So anything flavored, of course, is going to have tons of sugar. But almond milk, coconut milk, these are pretty disgusting. Now I use coconut milk quite often when I make my smoothies. I'll typically use unflavored coconut milk. And if you ever drink unflavored rice milk, unflavored hemp milk, unflavored almond milk, you know, all these, you know, flaxseed, soy, they are disgusting. They are just hideously disgusting. I drink coconut because I think it's the most nutrient dense, probably next to hemp milk. And it's got a lot of that creamier feel. But what I do is I use the unflavored ones and just, you know, again, put more berries or naturally spice up the smoothie that way. Now, does my smoothie taste better when I use original flavored, which is, what is original flavor? It's like a company comes out 5 years ago and we're supposed to know what the original flavor is. I mean, it's not like Dr. Pepper. So you use the original one, that's got more sugar. So it really depends. It's amazing. If you look on the back of these, if you look at the back of vanilla flavored, original flavored, any of these non-dairy ones I've already mentioned, almond, soy, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you could be ranging anywhere from 8 grams in a cup, 8 grams of sugar to a cup to 20, especially the rice milks, just crap. So guys, the takeaway here is don't drink them. Now, I know a lot of you, like when you go to Starbucks, you want to get your non-dairy alternative and they're going to use flavored, right? And that's one of the reasons you like their coffee there because it's flavored. But just be aware, again, we are only supposed to be getting 10% of our total calories from sugar. And so if you look at a 2,000-calorie diet of a woman, 10% of that is roughly going to be, if you look at how many calories per gram of carb, it's like 50 grams of sugar, no more than 50 grams of sugar a day. Now, to get under that number, and really ideally to stay under 150 carbs a day if you want to be on somewhat of a low-carb or a keto. Keto is actually probably going to be less than 150, but if you want to be a low carb person, I mean, staying under 150 is notoriously difficult. But these are some things that you're doing that you might not know are giving you extra sugar. So with these milks, stay away. Now, I am going to have a podcast on non-dairy milk alternatives. I did do an article this weekend where I graded each of them and gave each of them a grade based on their nutrition. So those are the big ones right there. I think the definitely big ones are going to be the dark chocolate, the Greek yogurt, the nut butters, and the non-dairy milk alternatives, sorry. But I do want to do some honorable mentions. Chocolate dip nuts, this is an honorable mention. I love these. I love my turbinado salt dark chocolate almonds. I eat quite a bit of them. I pop them in like Scooby snacks, literally. But again, you're getting the nut, and nuts have issues already, you know, aside from the hypoallergenic issues or the allergy issues. I mean, you're looking at the fact that you're getting a lot of phytic acid, a lot of anti-nutrients. They're roasted in vegetable oils typically, but that's another big misconception that people have. It's like, well, if it's a chocolate-covered nut, I'm getting the superfood of chocolate, and the nut. Now, perhaps you are, and in its sensible portions, you can have dark chocolate covered nuts, but a lot of people get milk chocolate covered nuts, so that's going to have a lot more sugar and a lot more dairy than the dark chocolate ones. But even look, when you go to the bin, or if you buy just a bag of dark chocolate or chocolate covered almonds, look on the back, the sugar is extremely high. Spaghetti sauce has a lot of sugar. I'm not really going to spend a lot of time on that because I think most of you guys already know that. Another one would be the store-bought smoothies, like Naked Smoothies, Naked brand, Odawalla. These have tons of carbs and sugars and no other macronutrients to balance it out. So a great meal is when you're getting all three macronutrients in a good ratio. That's why I put so much fat in my smoothies, for example, or in my yogurt bowls, or you know, on whatever I'm eating. The problem with Naked Smoothies, and we just mentioned the Q&A in the previous episode, so I'm not really going to spend too much time on that. Another one, and the last honorable mention, is going to be flavored oatmeal. Ideally, you want to stay away from maple syrup flavored oatmeal, you know, the instant ones. The instant ones are not that nutrient dense, and again, they're going to have a lot of sugar. I'd recommend you going with unflavored oatmeal, and then flavor it yourself with the aforementioned fruits or nuts. We do have a steel oats recipe on the website I recommend that you check out that Kate came up with. She's a big junkie of steel oats. Try that one out. But the whole point is stay away from flavored oatmeals because that's another bad one. Okay, so those are the main culprits on the most wanted list. I have some overall takeaways. One, stay away from all healthy foods purported to be low fat or fat free. Again, we are not in the 1970s anymore, guys. Fat does not make you fat. If fat was bad for you, why is 70% of our brain made out of it and all of our hormones? So low fat, fat free, what does that mean? First of all, you're not getting enough fat. Secondly, to compensate for the lack of taste that fat brings, they're going to put in azúcar, the sugar. So stay away. Keep walking. Stay away from advertised low sugar items. It's the same thing, right? Like sugar free or low sugar yogurt, low sugar pudding. Not that you should be eating pudding, low sugar jello. Okay, what are they putting in there to compensate for that? Aspartame, brain tumor, seizures, migraines, infertility, cancer in rats. Not good. And my last takeaway is just stay away from the middle aisles. I mean, ideally, in a clean eating world, in a paleo world, there's really no reason to be going down the middle aisles unless you're, you know, picking up some like turmeric. You know, you're picking up maybe some apple cider vinegar, maybe some canned olives, canned sardines. You know, sardines are pretty good for you. But, you know, the typical flour-based crap that we talked about in the Clean Eating Pantry podcast and blog, purge it out. So stay away from them. So that's really all I have today. Just know that big food doesn't give a damn about you. You have to take care of your own self and your own family. And I'm just trying to give you guidelines. Now, I am not perfect in the way I eat. And I don't want you to think that I'm like the typical born-again Christians who become born again after living a life of sin. And they're like, you need to take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay, I'm not like that. All I'm doing is that I have a passion for this stuff. So does Kate, but for different reasons. I was morbidly overweight. I'm very angry at big food. If you listen to confession number one and why did I become fat, you know, when I was younger, I used to blame my parents, of course, but I overcame that. And I'm really blaming the main culprit. So I have an antipathy toward big food and big pharma. And my job, or at least I feel that one of the reasons I have this website and podcast, is to expose them and to just bring awareness to what crap they're putting in our food and putting in our silverware and our cutlery and our Tupperware and what they put in the air with chemtrails and just garbage and all the cleaners that they put in this house. And like I tell the students, just because you can buy it doesn't mean it's good for you guys. You got to have a little more discernment. Don't be so naive. Don't be so naive, at least in regards to food. Be naive about, you know, sex in high school. Don't do that. Don't do drugs, but care about what you put in the body. You got to care about it. So I don't eat perfectly. Like I had Mother's Day today and I had French toast brioche and I had eggs Benedict. I love eggs. I love poached eggs, but I ate that. I don't always eat great, but It's not like do as I say, not as I do. It's just we all need to have more awareness and vigilance as to what they're putting on our food so we can make informed decisions. And if you don't take the time to read ingredients or just have a modicum of awareness on these food items, you're going to go blindly, go keep living your life, and you might get sick or get cancer because of most of the big killers, as I've mentioned before, are lifestyle causes. You'll get overweight and you won't know it, why. You know, so a podcast like this, especially this one, which deals with the superfoods, it's important, guys. Eat your dark chocolate, eat your Greek yogurt, eat your nut butter, eat a lot of nuts. But, you know, ideally, you should soak your nuts. And as I mentioned, the unflavored varieties of the other ones. So again, it's caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. You know, these companies are going to put crap in our foods. It's our responsibility. I bring this up to the students. It's like, if you are literate, which most of them are, and most Americans are, you have a responsibility to read what's important. You can ask, I could ask any of my male football students, and they could probably name 25 out of the 32 starting quarterbacks of the 2016 NFL season. But if I tell them, you know, who's their congressman, they couldn't tell you. Who's the Secretary of State, they couldn't tell you. Who's their city council? I mean, if you believe that the federal government really doesn't, you know, play a large role in our life, okay, then fine. Who's our mayor? Who's the city council? You know, where is Argentina on a map? You know, what's the Sixth Amendment? Again, if you don't learn these things, these are a lot more important, but that's why they use bread and circus, like the old Romans used to say. You use bread and circus to distract people. And like right now we have the NBA finals, right? Today the Warriors are playing the Spurs. And it's the same thing. I look around at the people and I'm like, you know, sports, that's what they did in ancient Rome. Free bread and gladiator games and, you know, the Circus Maximus, the horse racing was all there because when the people were starving and on the verge of revolting against the aristocracy, they would do these things to distract them. And sports nowadays is the same thing. It distracts us. Public reality television, TV in general, it's there to distract us from what's important. And what's important? Our livelihood and our government. We all need to be vigilant citizens, as Jefferson said. When the citizenry stops becoming vigilant, we're going to slip into anarchy and we're going to slip into corruption and tyranny. So, not to get on politics, because typically I talk about politics and confessions of an obese child. So maybe it's just my illness. But just, guys, pick what's important to keep up with. It's not to say that we can't have hobbies. Of course we can have hobbies. But find a certain amount of time. If you've ever read the book, Rich Guy, Poor Guy, the author there mentions how most multimillionaires don't watch a lot of TV. They don't watch a lot of TV. Either they're too busy or they have hobbies or they're walking in the sun or they don't. And then I read another stat that, you know, the working class or the working poor or the functionally unemployed, they watch something like 56 hours of television a week. So I mean, that's almost like, what, 8 hours of TV a day. So again, use your time wisely. Use your time wisely, please. Not to say you can't be watching, you know, Game of Thrones when it comes on or whatever, but there's always a time and place for hobbies, and there's a time and a place to eat well. So that's all I have to say today, guys. Go to my website, post a comment. It'd be really appreciative if you could go to iTunes and put in a review for us. I'd really appreciate it quite a bit. A girl named Rachel posted a review last week, and I want to say thank you to Rachel for doing that. You're awesome. You're wicked retarded. Thank you very much. Check out the website. We upgraded it. We got our little Insta feed and our Twitter feed. Today, Kate put a picture of her newborn child up there if you want to check that out. And I posted a new video today. My Instagram videos are very goofy. I try to make them kind of stupid goofy. But until next time, take care. God bless. And stay healthy as much as you can.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.